Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And to buy up the time we have, I'm going to begin to read at verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this is the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. A.W. Tozer writes concerning the love of God, "It is a strange and beautiful, eccentric thing, this free love of God, that he has allowed his heart to be emotionally identified with men. Self-sufficient as God is, he wants our love and will not be satisfied till he gets it. Free as he is, he has let his heart to be bound in you and in me forever. Free as he has allowed his heart to be bound with you and with me, with us, forever." John Piper writes of love, "Love is the overflow of the joy of God in us. Love is the overflow of the joy of God in us that meets the needs of others. The overflow is experienced consciously as the pursuit of our joy in the joy of another. We double our delight in God as we expand God's love in the lives we live to others. We double our delight in the joy of God as we expand those lives in love as we expand them to others." As we come to the communion table this morning, I want to speak to you and to me, as God has already done in my own heart, as we think of this great theme called love. So many people use the word. You remember the Pepsi commercial, "What the World Needs Now is Love"? What they meant by that, I don't know. Perhaps they know. But when we talk about love from the scriptural point of view, my friends, there isn't anything upon the face of the earth that can be compared with it. There isn't anything like it. Not a mother's love, not a father's love, not the love that a husband has for his wife and vice versa. Nothing can be compared to the love of God. We heard it sung at the beginning of this service. Oh, love of God, how rich, how free, how measureless and strong. God's love. Let's briefly look at it for a moment. As I've entitled this first part of my message, "The Source of Love." The source of love. And John tells us, first of all, that this love of which we're talking about, which brings us to the table this morning, this love is transcendent in its essence. Transcendent simply means it goes beyond. There isn't anything to which we can compare it. We must use words like. And as, but to define and to describe the love of God in human words, my friends, that's a total impossibility. Listen to what John says. Love is of or from God. It does not exist outside of himself. The little word of or from is the Greek word ek, which we get our word exit from. Love exits out from God, not from the angels, not from the seraphim, not from any creatures in heaven, the likes of which we do not know. John says, love is from God. It is in its very nature. The essence of it transcends anything you and I can ever, ever think about. God's love is high and it is wide and it is deep, says the Apostle Paul. It goes beyond our knowledge of it. Whatever thought we might have about the love of God never exhausts the quality or the quantity of God's love. It goes far beyond anything you and I can ever think about. Listen to how God describes his love to Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. The word everlasting has a nuance that has something like this. Someone that throws beyond. When God says that he loves us with an everlasting love, he's saying it goes beyond anything you know. It goes right into eternity. It goes not to the angels, but to God himself. Listen to how John puts it for us. Beloved, let us love one another, for the kind of love I am talking about comes from God. You weren't born with it. I wasn't born with it. No human being is born with it. It has its beginning, its source in God himself, who is spirit and whom we cannot see. So that the love of God, except God does something to make it known to us, is forever cloistered in the eternities apart from an act of God. It goes beyond. But there's something else about this love. And please forgive the theology of it, but it's the only thing I know at this point. Love, my friend, is not only transcendent in its essence as to what it really is. It is Trinitarian in its expression. In other words, what I mean by that, we do not see God the Father love, but God the Spirit does not love. We do not see God the Son love, but God the Father does not love. No, when we talk about the love of God, we are talking about love as it exists in the Godhead. God is love. The Son of God expresses the love of God by his entrance into time. The Spirit is the one by whom we are given the privilege of having that love poured into our hearts. So the love comes from the Father. It is expressed by the Son. It is really realized by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, speaking of love, said this, that God has shed abroad his love in us by the Holy Spirit. So we have this love coming to us, my friends, in the fullness of the Godhead, in the fullness of what we call the Trinity. It is true of God the Father. It is true of God the Son. It is true of God the Holy Spirit. And when you and I have been born again, as John puts it here, that everyone who is born of God, there is a spiritual operation which takes place, whereby what is true of God and expressed by the Son becomes the experience of the believer. And when we come to the table of the Lord, we are expressing something, my friends, that has nothing to do with human values. But we're expressing something that was actually secured in God himself and made known to you and to me through the work of the Father, the love of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the sealing of the Holy Spirit. This is why John never talks to us about love on the human level. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, he asked the question, behold, what kind of love is this? It's a very interesting word. The manner, the word manner, actually means exotic. What kind of out-of-the-world love is this? Have you ever seen those mothers and fathers and sons and daughters with pictures you have seen upon your television screen as I have? And you see the child with all the ugliness of sores protruding out of the body. And you see that mother holding on to that child. And the closest thing, my friends, that might resemble the love of God is the love of a mother. Only a mother knows what it is to love with the feeling, with the being. As fathers, we tend to love, and it's not the only way we know, but we tend to love with our actions. And sometimes the expression of love, when not felt, can be suspect, nevertheless love. But the scripture says, my friends, that when God loves us, he loves us, as A.W. Tozer puts it, he loves us with a feeling. And the feeling of God's love is best expressed to us when the Son did what he did. So we look at the signs of love. Because if we are to understand love, my friends, we cannot understand it by words only. One of my mentors in my office, Dr. James Stewart, now in glory, writes this: words can never, never prove love. Even God could not do so by words alone. It is the death on the cross that reveals for me the very heart of the eternal. For this is not a word, it is deed. God's deeds against which I can battle all my doubts and dash them to pieces when I see the signs of God's love. I can tell my wife, or I can tell my son, or I can tell my daughter, or I can tell a member of this congregation that I love them, but my friends, they must not hear words only, they must see deeds. They must see something that actually brings into human experience that of which I speak. How then did God give us the signs of his love? Listen to what John says in verse 9. By this, here it is. By this we know that God is love. What is this? First of all, God expressed his love to us in the appearance of his Son. What we call the incarnation. God sent his Son into the world. I want to spend just a moment or so at the word sent. Let me suggest to you, my friends, think it through now. Jesus Christ did not simply come to earth. He was sent. It was God who wanted you to know how much he loved you. It was God who wanted me to know how much he loved me. It is God who wants the world to know how he loves. And for him to show us the depth of his love, the first step was to show some sign, some deed by which we might know that love. And he sent his Son. Jesus Christ never lost the sense that he was sent by his Father, so that for the Father to send the Son, the Father had to do something true and within himself that actually caused his Son to leave glory and come from the highest into the lowest. He was sent. He was sent. I thought about that this past week. As our premier of the province wanted to show the Dion quintuplets, or the three ladies that are still alive, how much he felt about the action he was about to take. He got on a plane. It was interesting. Please forgive me for politicking here. It has nothing to do with it, believe me. But it's quite interesting. A week ago, he said, in a very somber voice as I watched the news, we have given them $2,000 for the rest of their lives. We think it is fair, and it is final.
Case closed. Something happened. And all of a sudden, there is a wellspring of reaction against the coldness. You see, now here is deeds without love. And he wants to show now how he really, really feels about what had been done in the past and what they had done. So what did he do? He got on a plane and he flew to Montreal and he met with these people, not at their request, but at his volition. For God, my friends, to show us how much he loves us, he can't do it on the grounds of virtue in you or in me. If there is any virtue in you or in me, that is earned. But for God to show us how much he loves us, he must come of his own volition. God is spirit, and he dwells in the eternities. And if the spirit is to express to us the emotions, if you please, then it is more than that to be sure, the emotions of his feeling, of his being, he had to come like one of us. So that when he is viewed, we, like Wesley say, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. For him to show us his love, he had to appear. He could not stay hidden in the eternities. He, Christ, came not on a mission. He came on a commission. He was sent. But that is not all. Jesus Christ, my friends, would not be able to come simply and live a good life among us, and we see him and we try to live the best we can based upon the commandments that has been given, the Sermon on the Mount. All that could not do. All those things did was to mock us. But God, if he's going to show us the depth of his love, not only the fact of it, but the depth of it, something else has to come. For this is the love of God. Not that we love him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, friends, if nothing else captures your imagination and your heart this morning, let me suggest to you that when we come and we take the cup, when we take the bread, we are saying before God, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The communion, my friends, is an expression of appreciation for God having shown us the degree of his love. Listen to the words of the Apostle John. Beloved, if God so loved us, what is a soul? The degree to which he was willing to show it. And what we have here, my friends, is God to show us the degree of his love must give us his very best to come to the very worst, to pay the highest price, to bring the very worst up to the very best. That's the love of God. The love of God, my friends, is not word. The love of God is deed. It is action. It is signs. All the miracles were signs that God, who is love, is with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The source of love, the signs of love. And now, my friends, love, from God's point of view, reaches its highest pinnacle, not when we receive that love. John does not say that. The love of God reaches its highest pinnacle when it is expressed to one another. Have you ever thought of that? Listen to how John puts it for us. No one has seen God at any time. This love is the argument for the existence of God. No one has seen God at any time. That is, God, who is spirit, cannot be seen by the naked eye. Humankind, in his condition of a sinful state, cannot behold. When Isaiah saw just what theologians call the theophanies of Christ, of God, when Isaiah saw that, he said, "Woe is me, I am undone. How can I stand the blazing perfection of that which I now see?" And it was not God he was seeing. It was the choice manifestation of God he was seeing. And as John chapter 12 tells us, it was Christ he was seeing in the Old Testament expression. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 tells us that God dwells in gracious and glorious light, which no man can see and no one can approach. We are in a dilemma, aren't we? If no man has ever seen God, and man needs to know that God, and of course, you know, I'm using the word man, meaning men and women, and they know that there is a God, and that God is gloriously situated in the eternities, how then can mankind get to know God? Listen to John. Listen to John. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God's love is alive in us. No, if we love one another, God is alive in us. God is at home in us. God has settled down in us if we love one another. Don't tell me, "I love you, but I don't like you." It isn't Christian, friends. God never calls on us to separate our love into compartments that we can take or leave. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God, who cannot be seen with the naked eyes, can be seen with the naked eyes through his people when we love one another. That is proof that God exists. That is proof that God is alive. That is proof, my friends, that we have the assurance of experience with God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He who does not love does not know God. Those are powerful words. Those are threatening words. If I do not love my brother, if I do not love my sister, if I do not love my wife, if I do not love my husband as a Christian, if I do not love my children and my friends more and more, if anything is sticking at my heart, if anything is sticking at my heart, it is the amount of parents that are destroying their children. Father killing their children, mothers killing their children. It is going to become, my friends, not only an epidemic, it will become pandemic. And the only answer we have, my friends, to the elevating of one another to the place where we can look at God's love. Remember, God's love did not come to virtue. God's love did not come to people who deserve it. God's love came to people while we were yet sinners. God demonstrated his love toward us, and Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Is there anything beyond that? My friends, when we cannot love, something is wrong, not with God, but with us, with me, with you. And when we come to the table, we are saying, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resigned." Listen, friends, listen, if you please. Love for God is not the sum total of human or Christian experience. It is not the sum total. The sum total is when that love reaches its perfection when we love one another. In this is the love of God perfected when we love one another. And as we come to the table this morning, I don't know who is responsible for this prayer, but listen to it. You might want to bow your heads as I read this prayer and make it your very own. I heard this past week. Love through us, O love of God, those whom in Christ you loved, reveal yourself to blinded men as in our midst you live again, and may the vision be to them life from the dead. Love through us. John says, my friends, that God's love reaches its purpose on earth. God's love is manifested on earth, not simply for loving God, but when we love one another. May I ask this very serious question before we come to the table? Is there someone that you cannot love this morning? Sitting behind you, beside you, in front of you? Is there someone, my friends, who needs to be delivered from their death by seeing their spiritual death, by seeing how we love one another? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God is at home in us.